Good evening, and on this Monday in Holy Week, welcome to St. Columba's for our service. It's a very great delight to welcome the Reverend Brick Gilmore, along with members of Knock Methodist Church and those from the wider community, as we come together to journey our way towards the cross on Good Friday. We are immensely privileged this year to welcome back His Grace Archbishop Robin Eames as our preacher, who will be connecting and relating the events and the individuals of that first Holy Week with the issues we experience today in our daily lives. We welcome Lady Eames to the congregation. I do hope that all of you can wait behind for refreshments at the west end of the church following this service. The service will proceed without announcement, according to the pew news sheet before you, and the collection at all of our Holy Week services, both at lunchtime in Knock Methodist and here at St. Columba's in the evening time, is being divided equally between the larger and Flourish NI. May the grace, healing and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this Holy Week.
And also with you.
O Saviour of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly pray. We gather together this evening to continue our journey with the Lord through this Holy Week of our salvation. The mundane Holy Week is the day in which we remember Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple precincts. This is a reminder to us that God's house is always to be essentially a house of prayer. So we ask God to give us pure hearts, devoted to Him, that His voice may be clearly heard, and that our priorities this week will be the priorities of Jesus Christ. Sent your Son to reconcile us to yourself and one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, through you we put to death the sins of the body and live. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. The Collect for Monday of Holy Week. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of his cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Psalm 36, verses 5 to 11. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness stands like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, shall save both man and beast. How precious is your loving mercy, O God! All mortal flesh shall take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
They shall be satisfied with the abundance of your house. They shall drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light shall we see light.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to those who are true of heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, nor the hand of the ungodly thrust me away.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Please be seated for the first reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed, until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus saith God the Lord, who created the heavens, stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring from out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Thank you. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth from Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
May I first of all thank your rector for his invitation and his welcome. It's a wonderful feeling to be worshipping with you in St. Columba's once again. Throughout this week in the evening, we are going to try and draw from the story with which we're so familiar. The story of that last week on earth of our Master. And we're going to try and draw from it the symbolism which in many ways is even more important than the story. For throughout the New Testament, that fact of the importance of the symbol is a constant reminder of the eternal message that we find in the New Testament. And not so much in evidence as in Holy Week. So tonight, it's the beginning. It's that very human picture of a triumphant entry. The milling crowds, the noise, the chatter, the mixed emotions, and the crowd of many faces and many people, and many who came a different way to join the crowd, and like all mobs, to be swept along by the physical intensity of purpose and achievement and failure. For the crowd that welcomed Jesus didn't know it would be for the last time. They did not know that this was but the beginning of it all, and they did not know, in a sense, why they welcomed him. But the mystique was there. And solitary figure riding on the common spectacle of a donkey is given a royal welcome to the city of God. And he passes between the crowd to begin his road to destiny. I remember once reading the words of a Jewish writer who took that image of the crowd on either side of the dusty street, the welcome, the crowd pressing, and the mixture of emotion, and he drew a very simple theme from it all. He called it the faces in the crowd, of which is mine, of which is mine. The eternal mirror of his life, his faith, his dilemma, played out in the faces of so many in that triumphant entry. And the symbolism of what happened next cannot be lost. For instead of making his appeal to the crowd and drawing them together by the majesty of his message, Jesus went into the precincts of the temple and created mayhem. Jesus, at the moment of seemingly earthly splendor, cast out from the temple court the symbols that were so contrary to his message, so contrary to his attempt to portray the truth of his faith, and cast away that which to him represented the artificiality of so much of religious life. It's quite a remarkable story. And it's a story which was to have its own familiar theme on each day of the week that was to follow. Or in the New Testament version, we have the constant comparing of what one would expect to see happening with the unexpected. The unexpected with the message, and the message full of symbolism, which was to turn that first Holy Week into a message of eternity. I wonder, have you, like I have, often pondered the real meaning of that first day? Because on the one we have got the contrast and the glory and the expectancy. Has he come to save us? Has he come to lead us? Has he come to be the prophet for which we've been promised? Well, if that's the case, nothing but joy can greet his entry. And yet, if he doesn't turn out to be what we have been told to expect, perhaps we should be inward looking, learning more about ourselves and the way we react to the coming of the stranger of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But for the moment, we concentrate on the contrast of what he stood for. This week, this year, we face a nation in turmoil. This year, Holy Week brings its eternal message to a very secular society which is falling on its own sword, and no one is clear what happens next. There are questions, there are prophets, there are soothsayers, and there are people who are practicing their idea for the future in ways which don't seem to be based on what you and I would count as the pillars of our faith. So what happens next? What happens next to the path that others seem to want us to follow? What happens next when life is in turmoil and we're taught to bring our own life of faith to influence what we do, what we say, and why we do it? Jesus came in what must have looked like triumph, but he came to challenge practices and ways of life which seem to satisfy on a very shallow level what the mystery of life was about. And he came not to seek the glory of earthly acclaim, but the humility of a road of service, suffering, and misunderstanding, which you would take him to the cross of Calvary. But that lay ahead. That was still to come. What we thought of on that first day is the mystery of how the faces in the crowd each had their interpretation of the meaning of it all. And as that writer said, they were in fact looking at a reflection of their own confusion, their own lack of faith, and their own searching for truth. So he comes in glory, and the fickleness of the crowd that was to shout Hosanna would take only a few days to join with those who said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But for the moment, they were swept away with the apparent joy of the moment. And for us, the mirror in which we see ourselves is just beginning to take us to Calvary. And when we get there, it's not that our questions will be answered in totality. It will be that we simply pause after the week of questions to say, "My Lord and my God." An independent force was walking in that street. An independent party was being formed, not bequeathed to the morals and the customs of that city and street, but an independent way of looking at it all. And the nature of the independence was that we are called to walk the pilgrimage that finds its strength in the shadow of that cross, to which we yet did not realize we were already making our way. For the moment, we leave him with the crowd, but we're already seeing the symbols of the earthly struggle of faith, which this year, as in all the years since, have given us the reason to believe. Bow our heads. Most merciful Father, as we begin our pilgrimage through this Holy Week of questioning and symbolism and understanding, pour into our hearts such a love towards thee, that we may be drawn in our daily life and experience closer to that love, which through suffering and through ordinariness draws us closer to thee. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls.
I'd invite us to sit or to kneel as we pray together. Let us bring to our Father our prayers of intercession through Christ who gave himself for the life of the world. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity there may grow a rich union in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who make laws, interpret them, and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have the courage and honesty to work openly for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. We join together in the words that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you.
Let us pray. May the peace of God, which passes all earthly understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you in your going out and in your coming in this Holy Week and always.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.